Today, I'd like to welcome to the PodMD studio Mr. Yi Yang. Yi is a Melbourne spine surgeon who specialises in the care of spine in both children and adults. Yi consults in Richmond, Mount Waverley and Berwick. He also has public appointments at the Royal Children's and Royal Melbourne Hospitals. Today's podcast is the first in our series on the latest innovations in spinal surgery and how they've changed the ways in which we now understand and diagnose spinal conditions. We do hope you enjoy this podcast, but please remember that the advice here is of a general nature and is not intended as specific advice about a given patient. If you do have a patient on whom you require specific advice, then please seek that advice from a colleague with appropriate expertise. Yi, welcome, and thanks for talking with us today on PodMD.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Yi, spinal surgery has changed a lot over recent years. Can you tell us about the latest developments and how these modern technologies are changing our understanding of spinal conditions and how they are diagnosed?
Thanks for the question, Sean. There's been a lot of recent developments and innovations in the field of spine surgery. A lot of these innovations do not just apply to how we perform spine surgery, which has changed a lot as well, but also in the adjuvant technologies that surround our understanding and diagnosis of these conditions. For example, modern imaging techniques have allowed us to understand disease pathologies better and diagnose the issues more accurately, leading to better understanding of the disease process. The use of CT and MRIs have become more commonplace, and other new technologies such as EOS scanners have allowed us to look at the patient's overall balance. This is a extremely low-dose radiologic study, which allows us to look at the overall alignment of the patient. This is in contrast to previously where the focus was on an individual joint or that joint's pathology. We now know that the human body is an intricate piece of engineering whereby the sum of its parts create a delicate balance to allow the function that we know and expect of the human body. For example, a great hip replacement doesn't work so well when the spine above it is bent all the way over and the patient is constantly hunched over. And our newfound understanding of how all of these individual parts relate to each other has allowed us to address these pathologies more effectively and safely. And we're currently understanding this through full body scanners or EOS scanners, which allow us to take x-rays with the patient standing up. And we are measuring many new parameters, which didn't exist when I was in medical school or during my training, such as in the relationship between the spine and the pelvis and hips.
So you mentioned that new imaging technology is changing our understanding of spinal conditions. Can you expand on this and perhaps give us some examples?
Absolutely. For example, traditionally we thought scoliosis instrumentation, otherwise known as Harrington rods, caused the patient to have a quote-unquote flat back syndrome, where the patient's spine is very straight and hence flat-backed. And this is essentially a loss of normal kyphosis in the spine. However, through the use of these modern imaging techniques, we have found that it is actually the scoliosis that causes the underlying flat back and not the instrumentation as we previously thought. We have incorporated this into our practice, and now for conditions such as scoliosis, we aim to give our patients a more natural kyphosis than they started with through differential rod bending during the surgery. Also, we know that flat back is very common in the elderly as they become more hunched over in the lumbar spine, causing their lower back to slowly straighten out. We now aim to restore the natural lordosis in these patients and to restore normal parameters between the spine and the pelvis and hips.
And Yi, how does this compare with how conditions were treated in the past?
Well, more spinal conditions can be treated now with modern innovations compared with the past. Surgeries has also been modernized to reflect this. During an operation, I might use a variety of techniques to make the surgery safer and hence more accessible by minimizing blood loss, overcoming challenging anatomy, and identifying the underlying pathology more accurately and hence able to treat it more effectively.
So are traditional methods still used and considered appropriate, and in what circumstances?
Traditional techniques still work very well for many cases, and this is the cornerstone of many treatments. But we are adding more tools to the toolbox, which helps us treating conditions which we considered too difficult or too dangerous in the past.
Well, Yi, this certainly is a very interesting discussion. What would be your key take-home messages for our PodMD listeners today?
Well, I think the key take-home messages, Sean, are that we are gaining a better understanding of many of the disease processes that we're dealing with through modern techniques of investigating them. So point number one would be that we are now more conscious of the patient's overall balance rather than an individual section of the body or joint. We understand that the individual parts often come together to function during normal human kinematics, and we are working to address this during our treatments of these conditions. Point number two would be that modern techniques have allowed us insights which we did not previously have. It has allowed us to gain a better understanding of many disease conditions and essentially rewrite the textbook on many of these pathologies, such as in the case of scoliosis that I previously mentioned. Finally, point number three would be that our expanded understanding has allowed us to tailor our surgical and non-surgical treatments for our patients. We're now able to have a preoperative plan, which is tailored for the patient in front of us rather than for a generic patient. There is still very much a lot of work to do in progress, but we have come a long way in a relatively short amount of time. All of the above factors are often intertwined and synergistic with each other. All require subspecialist training in spine surgery, resulting in a safer, more effective surgery, which allows the patient to get back on their feet and back to their daily life quicker and more comfortably.
Yi, that's a good summary. I look forward to our next discussion when we can expand on some of these changes in spinal surgical practice.
Thanks, Sean. It was good to be here.